This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The rabbit's not like us. You know, it has no history books, no photographs, no knowledge of sorrow or regret.
Okay, wise guy. Where's the rabbit?
Rabbit, put your game face on.
8:50 on the Voice of St. Louis. Time to hang out with Johnny Rabbit. Johnny, how have you been, sir? Legend of KMOX Radio.
Thank you, Stuart. Nice introduction there. I appreciate it.
Oh, but
let's go back to tonight. You are welcome, too. 1980 is the year we'll visit today. And we said then AM radio was good as dead. They were wrong. The Beatles, John Lennon, though, was dead. Solace under the Viaduct Cafe would never come back, nor would the Ambassador Theater. But as far as disco was concerned, it was staying alive. Is this justice? Video cassettes were being rented like hotcakes, as Uncle Leonard would say. And that phenomenon had the vinyl record business on its 33 and a third knees. Not even 8-track tapes could help. And quadraphonic records were a years ago fizzle. Places like Movies to Go raked in the dough, while record shops such as Cricket's, Laclee Music, Music City, and so many more, were closing faster than Sony was selling the new Walkman. In 1980, it seemed the ever-present handheld calculator, which had multiplied like rabbits since 1971, were being given away practically at places like Woolworths at Cherokee in California. And people were flocking to stores to get a new electronic pal from IBM called the personal computer. For $2,600 in 1980, you could get one of these home Univacs that'd give you 64 kilobytes of memory. I still don't know what that means. But at the time, I held up with an Underwood Olivetti typewriter and a Burroughs adding machine. Oh, if you wanted to put some money away for a rainy day in 1980, you could earn 8% interest at Community Federal Savings and Loan. If you were in the market for a car in 80, you could find some that were similar in size to the Henry J., the Crosley, or Nash Metropolitan of years past, like the Renault LeCar for $38.95 from McKelvey, Kessler, and Kirkwood, or the VW Rabbit sold for $52.15. The AMC Spirit was priced at under $3,800 from Bob D. Motors in Delwood. And for something bigger, the Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, less than $6,000 at Aunt Grebby on South Kings Highway or Bill Woodrum in Granite City. And for any car, you'd want to get a custom car stereo, of course, from CNC. For dinner in 1980, maybe Ruggieri's in the Hill in Edwards, where the waiter could be Mickey Garagiola, serving you a Bob Burns special sandwich before you were off to a blues game at the Checker Dome. That Bob Burns sandwich was named for the Globe Democrat sports editor who wrote a daily column called The Bench Warmer, and he was a regular in KMOX. Mickey, Joe Garagiola's brother, was noted for his announcing on KPLR-TV's Wrestling at the Chase. And in 1947, he was the first person in St. Louis to ever eat toasted ravioli. After the game, you could get a libation at Stan Musial and Biggie's, a little east of the stadium on Oakland Avenue. Now, then if it were a Saturday night, you could see the Rocky Horror Picture Show at Pete Piccione's Varsity Theater in the Del Mar Loop. Just like the record stores, movies were getting the bum's rush from the burgeoning video cassette craze. But in 1980, we still had quite a few movie houses. Maybe you attended some of these. Mann's Theaters, Mark Twain, and Lindbergh and Graboid. Webster Grove Cinema, the former Ozark Theater in Lockwood and Webster, General Cinemas, Sunset Hills, Lindbergh and Watson, Mid-America had theaters like the Brentwood on Brentwood in Brentwood, the Woods Mill at 40 and 141, the Ritz in South Grand, the Crestwood on Route 66, and Warenberg show places included Stadium 1 and 2 downtown at Chestnut, the Crown on Florissant Road, too. For kind of racy fare, there was the Colony in East St. Louis, the Town had been the Rivoli downtown at 6th Street, and Jules Jablonow's Mid-America Fine Arts, the former Beverly on Olive Street Road. During 1980, the Morning Globe and the Afternoon Post told us Mae West, Peter Sellers, Jimmy Durante, Alfred Hitchcock, Andre Castellanos, Steve McQueen, and Jesse Owens were among the national notables that had all checked out before the Reagan era had checked in. A few years earlier, I had dinner with Jesse Owens in Miss Helling's Open Hearth Restaurant in the Bel Air West, and he autographed a large color poster of himself for me. He was in town for some kind of a long-forgotten promotion for Sears. In the Post-Dispatch, the always affable Jake McCarthy kept us up to date on the counterculture. Ray Hartman's upstart Riverfront Times, that was the former profiled St. Louis, was making ripples in the paper publishing bars. And the end was announced in 1980 of a great building, the 1897 Castleman McKay Mansion at Spring and Lindell. The Masonic Temple and Scottish Rite Cathedral wanted to raise it for a parking garage, and it ended up just being a parking lot as it is today. The buyer of the building, Finer Metals on Manchester and Cheltenham, wanted to tear it down, store it in the warehouse for reconstruction in a better location. It didn't happen. Actually, that plan dated to the mid-20s when it was suggested by the homeowner. Next Sunday on KMOX, we'll visit 1960. Then on April 22nd at the Clayton Recreation Center, I'll have a program for Oasis at 10:30 called Whatever Happened To. It's about people, places, and things. For a reservation, contact stloasisnet.org or just drop in. And on Tuesday, May 13th at 10:30, I'll host a free presentation on growing up in St. Louis. That'll be at the Lee Auditorium of the Missouri History Museum. More on that next week. Now, as radio announcers used to say, according to the clock on the wall, it's time to return to the KMOX studios where our friend and yours, Stuart McMillan, is anxious to tell us something. Okay, Stuart, what are you going to tell us?
Well, I'll tell you, coming up at 9:20 here on KMOX. Nice to hear from you, Johnny. At 9:20 coming up, we have our extended segment with Jamie McKeon, a local Scottish-American, and we're going to play some music together. He has an original song, and we're going to play an old Robert Burns song, of course. That's all coming up on Total Information AM Sunday. I'm Stuart McMillan, CBS News coming up at the top of the hour. We'll have local news and sports and all the good stuff. See you soon.